You're listening to a podcast on Wolverine Radio.
Ed, you have the floor.
No.
I had to stop him. He's got 2 hours from 10 to 12.
I don't play baseball anymore, so I don't know.
You pushed it last night.
You play pool?
I play pool, yeah.
At the selectmen's meeting, you were pushing on that blight ordinance.
We need
enforcement in that area.
I agree with you 100%. That's why I've been going around to the other towns around here and asking for their blight ordinances. I agree with you. That's one of the things that during my term in office I want in place. There's a huge number of absentee landlords in this town. There are a bunch of houses that are, you know, a single family home, and you've got 11 different people living in it, all of them paying money to the landlord. And it's illegal, and it shouldn't be happening. And it's a detriment to the town. It holds the property value down in town. You know,
it prevents people from wanting to move here.
People don't want to move here. You know, well, that's Griswold.
Or a certain type of people, probably the people we want to move here, you know.
Yeah, sure. And you know, I've heard so many people tell me, well, I'd love to get involved, but I don't have the time. Well, this is your community. If you live here and you own property here, you better find the time because...
You don't need to own property here.
No, you don't.
It could be anybody that lives in the borough or the town.
You could be a resident.
You have a voice.
Right.
You know,
yes,
and
you do.
And I agree, especially when you have less than 9% voter turnout.
Right.
You know, at the polls, you know, I think that's pathetic. I mean, Al Gere, how many times have you and I talked about that where I just think that it's the apathy is just incredible. And I'd love to see personally more people, you know, grabbing the bull by the horns and getting involved, like Burke said.
Yeah. Well, I've heard people make the statement, you're going to vote today? What's the use? It's already determined, you know, and
they determine.
You got to have people getting out to make any change.
And yeah.
Sometimes change is good.
Yeah.
But
even
a community.
Even in a borough meeting, I mean, when they were discussing to go from to keep the two resident troopers or to go down to one,
right.
There were 23 people that showed up out of how many borough? Out of over 1,200 registered voters.
Yeah.
23 people showed up to decide the fate of whether or not the borough was going to have
two residents or one.
Or one. 23 people.
I'm going to tell you something politically incorrect to say on the radio, but I think...
You?
Ed might support me or not. I'm just taking a speculation here. I think if we get more professional in our governance at the borough and the town level, you're going to pull a certain type of resident into those meetings than... Sometimes we've been I hate to say this, and it should be taken critical because it's meant as criticism, but I'm trying to improve governance in the community. I think in the past, and Al probably has good experience in this too, you know, when you show up at a selectman's meeting or a planning and zoning where you get an applicant coming in willing to spend millions of dollars, and the board member comes in with no collared shirts, you know what I mean, Ed? I mean, do you know what I'm trying to say? I mean, I don't want to get too... specific, but the image that your officials elected or appointed, that's marketing. Whether it could be, but in my case, my criticism, it's negative marketing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So what say you guys? I know that's kind of harsh assessment.
It's not harsh assessment. You know, there's been a saying for a long time, dress for success. And that, I mean, that's true. You don't present. I was totally embarrassed because it was a selectman's meeting last night, and I really had a very busy afternoon, and we had an earlier meeting, so I didn't have time to change, and I showed up in a pair of blue jeans and a flannel shirt. That's not the way you should be going to those meetings. That's not the that's because you just project that image out. That
an image means a lot.
Image means a lot.
Yeah, but what might to be fair to you. You were more dressed up than previous occupants in the past have been.
Well,
at
you
those
can't
boards.
Change the past.
But you know, but you had a college show. I'm telling you, I've been to meetings where, you know, God bless them, you know, they just go off, you know, like on a Saturday, I'm cleaning my brush. That, you know, that's how some of them show up. And I'm not, they're not bad people. That's, and they're not stupid. My thing is, I don't think they're aware of that, how other people might draw an inference from their dress at that type of meeting. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they didn't do their job and stuff like that. I'm just saying, if you're interviewing somebody and you're a business, you know, like you're interviewing a prospect for hiring, you're going to make inferences from how they approach, you know, how you assess them at that meeting, that first meeting. Some of these people coming into town, they're seeing those board members for the first time. They're not saying, that's my neighbor, I've known him for 20 years. You know, he's a nice guy or she's a nice guy. They're just drawing, their observations are, you know, being conducive to certain conclusions. That's all I'm saying. And hopefully those conclusions are more positive than negative over duration of time on the board. And that's, and I just came away, and I'm a resident, and I just say, for Christ's sakes, man, you know, and I don't want to name names, but if you've been to those board meetings over a certain time, you kind of know what I'm saying. I commended Kevin Schoolcheck when he became first selectman, because he made an effort to dress appropriate, maybe even more appropriate than he had to, but it made the optics of the town better. The people that know nothing about the time, if they just see him on TV, see him on, you know, in the paper, or see him at a meeting or something. What say you, Al? You've had a lot of experience.
Yeah. Well, like I said before, and we're talking about the image that one presents to the public. You got to present a good image in order to try to sell any product or any ideas that you want to try to get sold at those meetings. You have to have a good image.
Absolutely. But I want to go back to Ed Burke again and ask, like, have we come up with solutions? I mean, where does this start? Does it start? I don't know if I got an answer to this. Does it start at the town planner? Does it where does it start? You said people, and you know, people getting involved, and that's, it's true. It's general, but who's going to lead that charge? I guess is the question.
Well, you know, I've talked to some people, and I'm going to try to set a meeting up, and I may as well say it now. I'm going to try to set a meeting up. It will hopefully be at the VFW, and have people come to that meeting with the express purpose of asking and having their input into, where do you want Griswold to go? What do you want the future of Griswold to be? Do we need, you know, I keep seeing, well, I'll say it, I keep seeing the same people in office, and there's no turnover, there's no plan, there's no initiative, very little happens here in Griswold.
Well, the building official changed.
Yes, they did. You know, okay. All right, so
I think that's a start.
I think you have to start in a lot of different ways, and I think you have to really involve the citizens in Griswold. I don't use Facebook and all that kind of stuff, but after I was on the show with you, was it last week or the,
yeah, you went with Ed Burdick, yeah.
And you know, people are telling me, I go to the VFW quite often. 11 o'clock in the morning, you find me at the VFW having a cup of coffee.
Okay,
but. You know,
image.
I treat the same.
Yeah. You know, so it's like, yeah.
Jameson.
But I go in there and
coffee?
People,
you have Irish coffees, right?
No,
at 11 a.m.?
No.
Image.
I had a stroke, you know. I can't be doing that stuff anymore.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Wow.
How you feeling now?
Good lesson.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that aside. Yeah. Maybe that's what made me silly enough to run for office. anyway, I want to become the focal point for change in Griswold. You know, if you want to, and you guys were telling me I should resign. The two of you that are sitting here just told me I should resign. Well,
No, me.
And Al. You know, so let me tell you this. Good. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad I had enough impact to have people stirred up and start talking. Good.
Well, I got to commend you because you ran for office, okay? And, you know, believe it or not, you know, and maybe I'm biased in this, but that's very few people enter that type of arena, Al. You know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. you know, at, in a way that's sad, you know, the way to get more people involved. If it inspires them to run for office, I think we should have a slew of people that want to seek a certain office in this town or in the borough. People that care for their town and care for their borough. I know Ed had a perfectly good reason he wanted to run. He wanted to see change. Mm-hmm. And you got to express what that change is that you would like to see happen here in town of Griswold.
Well, it's like a grassroots campaign.
Yeah.
You know, you got to start somewhere. You know, keep Griswold quiet is a grassroots kind of movement, you know, that started organically. And I think, personally, this has got to be the same type of thing. If they, you know, if people want to see change and see different things within the town, it has to. But has it been thought of maybe creating a subcommittee, you know, on the Board of Selectmen with some leadership there reporting back to the to the board?
I don't think you're at that point yet. I think really there's got to be a group of Griswold residents who just sit down, identify what are the good points about living in Griswold, and what are the bad points about. I think that's the first thing that you have to do is define what's good about Griswold, what's bad about Griswold, and then how do you expand on what's good about Griswold, and how do you change what's bad about Griswold? And mm-hmm. so your focus gets to be, and part of that is, you know, people becoming involved in the leadership in Griswold. Absolutely. I'm 73 years old. You know, I'm not going to, why do I keep saying you know? I'm 73 years old. You probably don't know.
We know now.
You know now. You know, so, there, you did it again. I'm willing to be the brunt of whatever people want to yell at and scream at and everything else here. But I feel that what I'm trying to do is right and appropriate for the town of Griswold. And I didn't say you know.
I'd like to follow up, and maybe it's redundancy, but if you're repetitive, sometimes it sinks through. What do you think the town would be different if we didn't have 395?
You're listening to a Wolverine Radio podcast.
If it was just not there, if we were Sterling, located Sterling.
We would be Sterling.
Okay, so why aren't we exploiting that thing?
I mean, that's a good question, Ed.
You know, I mean, I'm asking a real low-hanging type thing.
I understand that, but the question is who are we talking to? Who are we trying to romance to come into the town? Whose job is that anyway? Hold on. Yeah. You know, I mean, has that even been defined? You know, who does that? Ed's shaking his head, noob. That's why I said, you know, does the town planner do that?
Historically, it's been the leaders of the town, and sometimes they line up with elected positions, and sometimes the leaders don't. But quite frankly, historically, one of the power centers for the town in the last, I'd say, 50 years, from my calendar knowledge, it could be before that, has been right there, mm-hmm. the Druid City Savings Bank. You know, and there's more. I don't just mean corporately, but, you know, the influence it has. So what I'm saying is, that hotel that we have next to 395, you know why it got there? We had to run some municipal services out to that part of the property. If we extended it, I can't say in next year there's going to be a replication at it, but it's probably more likely that there would be than if it's without it. You know, that's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, let's take, to keep my fishing metaphor in line, let's start running our line a little further into our jurisdictional, you know, footprint.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we will hook something. But we're not going to catch anything if we don't run the lines. I'm telling you.
There you
go. That's all I'm saying.
For example, in this business right here, okay, people aren't knocking down the doors going, hi, I want to advertise. Hi, I want to put things up on the radio or the Wolverine TVs or anything. I got to go out there every single day and I got to find it.
How'd you get me?
I asked you. I approached you.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, and this station does a service for the town. This is, I would call it the real, you know, it's part of a mechanism to make things happen in our town, good or bad, you know, but it is it's integral to success or failure. We can be conducive to that or not, and I think you have been, because we're airing things that, quite frankly, should be aired and should have been aired years and years and years, because We have.
It's got to start somewhere.
Our town is not 5 square miles. Our town is 37 square miles. We have opportunity. In business, it's called SWOT analysis: strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and targets. That's what Ed was referring to in more, you know, in more humanistic words. But what are our negatives? What are our positives? What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? We need to have community input and say, what, you know, tell us what they are, because we might miss some of these things as leaders or people that are trying to do. So,
gotcha. Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap up here because it's almost time. It's almost time for the Ed Burdick Show. Oh, wait, it's already been the Ed Burdick Show. What are you talking about?
No.
No. Al, do you have any closing comments?
Just one that came to mind here when Ed was mentioned about the line, extending the line out.
Yep.
You got to get that line out there, and you got to bait that hook. You got to bait it with something positive that will cause people to start getting up in arms like Ed Burdick here is trying to do.
Yep.
You know, get people involved. Let them come to the meetings, express their opinions, what they think we should be, who we should be trying to draw into our community to make our community a better community.
Todd, you have been pretty quiet the entire hour, so let's see if you had something to say.
Well, I talk all week, so when we have guests, I let them talk, you know, so
Not Ed Burdick, though.
The one this might be a crazy idea, but whatever. But I used to do a lot of travel, and I used to drive everywhere. The one thing you don't see around here is one of those, like, information rest stops. A place where you stop, you look at the map. They have a big map, shows you where you are. You have some bathrooms. They have stuff on display, crafts that have been made in the local areas. You got the brochures from all the things that you could. They don't have anything like that. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any, like in Connecticut? Why couldn't you have one, like, right by where the...
Welcome Center.
The hotel is. You know, right off the ramp.
And the hotel would be an excellent.
Right on the side of it. And then, you know, there's a place to stay right there on the side of it. You know what I mean? You just don't see them. But every other state you go into, they have these places.
Yep.
And they basically promote themselves. They sell themselves by showing you everything they have to offer.
Right.
That's a good option.
And the other thing, and this is kind of what I see every single day, it's budgetary. You know, when you start walking into businesses and you start talking to them about, you know, promoting and advertising their business and getting it out there, it's budgetary. A lot of people, a lot of the businesses have $0 that they have for an ad campaign. I think they have the money for the ad campaign, they just don't budget it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They don't take a certain percentage of their gross sales. And I think that's it's a hard way to manage because you don't know what's coming from next. And I think that's why there's not a lot of self-promotion in this town.
I think, like, a rest area like that is actually a town promotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just each individual local businesses, although they will all be part of it.
But the town's not going to pay for it.
That's what I'm saying. You know,
I'm not saying it's a good thing, but they're not going to pay for it. Everybody's up in arms about the ECS funding and, you know, what's happening with the budget in the state and what's the town not going to get. We're so ass backwards with our budgeting in the town, but that's because the state is ass backwards, and that's because the feds are ass backwards. So it's trickle down right to us, and then we all yell at people like Ed and Todd and Steve Merchant and Schoolcheck and Phil Anthony, go right on down the line like it's their fault. Come on, really? I mean, think about it. When Obama was in, you know, was it Obama's fault? Or was it a cycle of things that happened? You see what I mean? I've seen the country, and I'm sure, I hope everybody here will see this, that I've seen the country go ahead and flourish under Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I've seen it flop under the Bushes. I said it. I've seen it come back or you know, come up, you know, with Clinton and then fall down again. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat. It's a cycle. It's an economic cycle. The problem is this time we don't know how to frick to get out of it.
You're listening to a Wolverine Radio podcast.
Because we're too afraid to make that step. And I think, Ed, you said that kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Both Eds did.
Mike, your observations just now were spot on. And what I want to say is, I think what you meant to say, it's the policy, stupid. The policies, no matter. We got to have better policies that encourage almost an enhancement of the assets we have here in Griswold. And we got to look out for our community. And what I'm just trying to say is sometimes you have to give something up of your own, you know, personal family, your own personal individual, you know, vision to shoot for a bigger vision for your community. And it might involve something that's not your cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might not want an 8-story, you know, business park, you know, thing off of 395. It might be contrary to your aesthetic appeal of where you wanted to live for the rest of your life. I understand that. But doesn't mean someone should just give up their vision for what's good for the tax base of the community long term. Because
mm-hmm.
we need to grow the tax base to fund that behemoth we have out there that eats up a lot of dollars every year. So we're not really contrary to education if we build a tax base. And they might say, you know what? You're right. So we're going to give up some of our, what we want this year to fund some infrastructure to ensure the longevity of the funding capacity of the town.
Yeah.
And it's going to be tough, and I agree with you. It's going to be opposition to it.
Yeah. And I guess the last thing I'm going to say, then I want to give the floor to Mr. Burke for the last couple of minutes, is that, and this is like another reason why I mentioned the town planner. I mean, and this is not a shot at Mario or anything, but if it does start with the town planner, shouldn't they work even with the existing businesses to keep them here instead of maybe not keeping them here?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be their job?
It should be a joint effort. And, you know, I don't think this is a situation where you talk about the plan manager. I don't think one person is responsible for developing a plan for the town of Griswold. I think mm-hmm. that involves a lot of the leadership in Griswold.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, because...
Is it the good old boys club?
Griswold?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. I mean, why leave... You know, what we have to do here, and my therapist told me a long time ago, you need to rip the scab off the sore, and you need to heal the sore.
Rip the Band-Aid right off.
Yes, and that was a VA guy from PTSD. But anyway.
No matter where it came from, he's right.
Yeah, he's right. You know, so, all right, so I'm going to try to rip the scab off this thing. Let's see what the sore is, and let's fix it. You can't put it on the town planner. You know, the town planner can be part of what the town leadership wants and help to work in that direction. You know, and everybody, I hear this marvelous stuff about, well, these streetlights we have in town, you know, these are the best streetlights in the state of Connecticut. Who the hell cares about the streetlights in downtown Jewett City? Are you going to come to Jewett City to see the streetlights?
But it makes the borough...
Yeah,
brighter and
I think
more pleasant to look at.
Absolutely, I agree with you 100%.
And that was part of your dilemma when you were here last week. Is you know what does it look like aesthetically downtown? Like the buildings are crap. I mean,
we all know what buildings we're talking about.
Oh hell, I have said it a million times that the building that houses Altone should be knocked to the ground.
Yeah.
You know. Nothing against Annie, have her move somewhere else.
Where are the landlords for those two buildings?
Absentee landlords.
Yeah. Who holds them responsible for the impact they're making in the town of Griswold?
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody. Yet the
Well, Al's got a blight coordinator, on his team. So
we're trying. It's a tough job, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to use metaphors, but it's this metaphor I've been holding in my back pocket for 2 weeks now.
Here it comes.
You know, sometimes you have to take sandpaper to smooth out a rough surface. And so some of these things that have to be better, enhanced, it's going to be abrasive to get them done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people are going to feel the contact of that paper. And I'm not wishing that on. I'm just saying, come on, let's be realistic. When you got to smooth out some wood... It's not going to, you just can't look at it.
Right.
You can't wish it so.
You can't just rip that Band-Aid off the wood. You know, you got to sandpaper it down, and sometimes you got to use a coarse sandpaper.
Thank God for the Jameson.
Here I am.
All right.
All right, Ed, thank you very much for coming
by. You're quite welcome, anytime.
All right, I'm sure we'll see you again. The bells of the borough, they're on the background. So that means we are out of here.
Let the Facebooking
I let the Facebooking begin.
let's call this segment when we do something like this the firing line.
The firing line.
No, because really,
That's what we need to have.
Ed, you got your own show in a minute. Talk about it then. You know, we're out of here. Goodbye. See you tomorrow, everyone.
Local news, local sports, local people. Wolverine Radio Podcast.